Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great to have your company this Wednesday afternoon. Well, you're sick of all that election hype, all of the chaos that's going around you. Well, just take a moment. Actually, take 25 of them. Pour yourself a cuppa, sit back and relax, and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Kim, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. Do you want the bad news or the good news?
Oh, good news first.
Well, actually, they're both good and bad, really, actually. You know, we're going to continue the election hype here.
Oh, yay!
Hey, for our listeners out there. So you are sick of it. I've just told you to sit down and relax. Wow, you might be jumping back out of your seats right now, but bear with us. This is not the politicians' views. These are our views, on the big topics of the election
of the
this
moment.
Year.
Yeah.
So what is on kind of on the agenda? Obviously, we've just not long ago, the rail and the whole infrastructure type thing was, was announced, and each one of the parties has got their own ideas about where that rail is actually going to go. What's your thoughts on rail? New Zealand's never been that great on rail.
No. I guess it depends. You know, there's a whole lot of hype about rail, but there's different kinds of rail. You know, when you think of a train, you think of the chug, 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 chug. But in this day and age...
Can you say that again?
It'll be interesting. But in this day and age, you've got trains that are... You know, fast and sleek, and you don't hear the noise of the wheels anymore. And so I guess if it's a way of improving transport around the country that's affordable for everybody, which is, I think, key, then, yeah, go for it.
There's interesting, there's two sides of the story here, isn't there, really? There's the trucking businesses, but it doesn't matter. Things still have to be taken from the railway station to wherever they're going.
Yeah.
So they're still going to be there. But also when we think about roads in New Zealand, they're not that great. And a lot of the time where trucks do have to go, our roads just kind of get chewed up by them as well. We don't have nice straight roads. They're often very windy, narrow. But when I think of it, you know, and especially, I suppose especially so in Auckland, and it came out a couple of weeks ago, the amount of lost productivity, and they've put a number to that, and that is big. It was in the millions.
Oh, wow.
And I see it myself, you know, you're sitting on the motorway in the middle of the day, and there are trucks around you also just sitting
just
there going about 10 kilometres an hour.
Yep.
That is huge. The productivity loss is just huge. I'm all for rail, for a lot of these carting up and down, you know, and, oh gosh, if I go back many years now, I think the rail used to go all the way up actually to Kaitaia, but that northern rail route from Auckland is certainly, I think, well, it's used... Actually, I'm not sure it's used really very well at all now, but certainly from Whangarei to Kaitaia, that's long gone. But you see big logging trucks coming down all the time, and you think, look, that can all just be shoved on those railway carriages and gone. Let's get it out to the regions.
I agree. You know, New Zealand roads from where we come from are beautiful. You know, not many potholes, but they are not made for speed, and they're not made for masses of cars and trucks.
No, that's right, yeah.
You know, and then you get people that get frustrated, get stuck behind a truck, and, you know, the whole situation gets worse and worse.
And so the trucks these days are getting bigger and bigger.
Yes.
And so we're getting more axles on the road, and they are getting bigger. So, you know, I think this is an issue that has to be, I think it does. We can do it better. And I think rail and trucks can work together better. And productivity for both, I think, will be huge. And you're right, with our roads, you know, the amount of deaths on our roads with some of our tourists coming who are not used to our roads and some of the challenges there. So that kind of nicely segues into immigration.
Right. So immigration. I am an immigrant. So that's an interesting point for me.
Tackle that one without us getting in trouble.
I don't want to get into trouble here. So it's, you know, there's points for and against, I guess. I'm mindful that there's only so much space in New Zealand and so much house. So many, you know, a lot of people congregate towards Auckland due to the jobs available. And there's only so much housing that's available too. So that is an issue. However, it's become apparent in the regions that they need immigrants.
And I think every country needs immigrants, actually. But you're right, you know, for the last probably year, this has become a hot topic. And probably it has been started by the housing shortage in New Zealand. So it's fired this whole topic. And thinking, you know, every country has skill shortages. we have several categories of skill shortages here in New Zealand, so we do need people to bring people in. And for quite a few countries around the world, New Zealand being one of them, we're not actually producing enough people to be able to fill our labour needs in the future, whatever that future actually does look like, actually, especially with robotics and everything coming in.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a whole new subject, isn't it? But it is about getting the right... Okay, I'm gonna go make a stand here.
Ooh.
It is about getting, for me, the right people in.
Yes.
And it is really important for me also, I think, that the regions are looked after and where the skills are needed, that we get people, but how we attract people there is the challenge. And I just think too many, and I suppose this is a problem for any big city. Everybody congregates there, there's too many, and it brings all of these infrastructure problems that comes with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do agree with that. You know, that I think we have enough people in Auckland and we need to spread the love, let's put it that way.
You did that very PC, wasn't
very
it?
Very PC. But it's true. You know, the regions are calling out for people and they need the help. That's what we need to be looking at. And as you said, get the right people in. So, hot topic, definitely.
It is a hot topic, and I think we should be able to talk about it rationally.
Mm.
And this is what really frustrates me as we go through this whole kind of election time. There are so many angles put, and you have to sift through and think, well, hang on a minute. This doesn't make sense. This is just a spin on it, you know, because I'm wanting you to think in a particular way. And I've got really tired over the whole year of hearing, as soon as someone talks about immigration, they're shut down because it's discrimination and they're being racist.
Mm,
and it's not to do with that at all.
No.
And I really, that really, really annoys me. And I think every country has to be sensible, and it does. It thinks about its people. It thinks about where it's heading. And it thinks about how it's going to survive and what it needs to survive. And, you know, you have to make decisions. You have to make wise decisions.
For the benefit of everybody that's in the country.
Yeah. And, I mean, there are knock-on effects from immigration. You know yourself, when you go to a country that doesn't speak your language, the challenges you have in, you know, even navigating that particular, navigating different services, being able to acquire different services, you know, when you don't even have the language, for example. And that has knock-on effects, whether it's through health, because suddenly, you know, you don't know how to access the services. You end up in hospital rather than somewhere else. Or, you know, again, until you figure out how things work around here, you're trying to do it within the way you've been taught, and that doesn't work within that place as well. So, so an interesting argument, the immigration one, but I would love to see this whole thing, the whole rhetoric around it, actually be rational and logical for what it is,
rather
than all of this kind of emotional kind of, oh, you're discriminating, you know, this is racism. And,
it's got nothing to do with race. It's got to do with what the country needs.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to look at.
You know, and the vibrancy that people bring with them. You know, when I think of New Zealand, it was so, well, let's face it, let's be honest here, it was so boring. Did we have a festival? Good God, you know. We have Waitangi Day, we have a Queen's Birthday, yahoo. We have Christmas. Let's chuck Christmas and Easter in there. But, you know, it's great the celebrations that we're also adopting from people making New Zealand their home. So we're becoming a more vibrant country as well. So, yeah, there's some great stuff. And, I mean, I come from immigrant parents as well who have made their life here. So, yeah. There's a place for it in every single country.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. And it's, you know, it's, as you say, it's not discriminating. It's helping people to fit in to, you know, the education. It's educating people, not just the immigrants, but the people that are in the country too, and how to deal with immigrants and how to understand each other. It's simple, isn't it?
So it's a two-way street, isn't it? And I suppose we do have to think rationally. If immigration is putting too much pressure in one area, is it logical to get that place in such a state that it now has to crawl its way out of that exactly. with homelessness, not enough homes, all of this infrastructure that we don't have to cater for that. So you're right. Do we think, let's push out to the regions, grow the regions while we get that balance back.
Correct.
And so that we're not suddenly having homeless people again.
Yes. Yes.
And again, this is a huge issue and another hot topic.
Yes.
You know, people, do they have a home here? Can they afford a home?
Well, that's scary, isn't it? I read somewhere that you need something like $200,000 as a deposit.
Oh, I'd say it's probably even more than
more
that.
More than that, depending on the kind of house that you know. So, and who has $200,000 just hanging around to put as a deposit? You've got to get a loan to get a loan.
Have a look in my pockets, my dear.
Oh, look at you. Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. So it is, and housing is a massive, it's a massive, massive concern because everybody needs a roof over their heads.
And to be in a modern world, you know, a civilised country. Well, can I say that?
Yes.
I've said it.
Yes.
It's out there
it's
now,
out
isn't
there.
It? By God.
It is.
And to have to be creating more homelessness when we should be in a world where actually that's something that shouldn't even be.
It shouldn't be a question. It's just you have what you need. And we've got so many resources that we can use for homes. You know, we were speaking about it a few programs ago about using containers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you were thinking about buying a bit of land and putting a few containers on to start with.
Exactly. I mean, they safe, they, you know, waterproof, they can be warm. I mean, it's we've got the resources. We just need to start thinking outside the square and start letting those beautiful students of ours start using their creativity to help people ensure that they have got homes, regardless of what those homes are looking like.
Yeah, until we can kind of get ourselves back on track.
Yeah.
But let's make sure that people do have a roof over their head. So, yeah, hugely hot topic again.
Mm.
And again, interesting, the rhetoric that goes around housing where, you know, oh, we're going to build so many houses. Well, there's a big challenge there too. Who? Who's going to build them?
Well, that's the issue, isn't there? We've got a problem with trade, people in trades. We don't have enough.
Yeah.
We don't have enough qualified tradespeople.
And we have policies, obviously, to, you know, all of the things that have to be done to be able to build a house, the inspections, all of that kind of stuff.
All the red tape that
again,
has to go through
that. We are in a country where we want people to have safe homes. And actually, that's some more rhetoric. And this is actually one I agree with, is a WAF for homes. So
I agree.
A warrant of fitness for homes.
Yes.
This is a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer. I reckon it should be compulsory.
Yeah.
And all landlords should have a WAF on their home.
This is simple stuff,
isn't it? It is simple stuff. It is. And it shouldn't cost much to implement that either, I wouldn't think.
No, there's a tick sheet.
Yes.
Was I reading that? Was it the University of Otago or something that's been doing some research on it and showing a tick sheet? And we can say, look, can you tick all these boxes?
Yeah.
And if you can't. But again, isn't it interesting that we're living in a world where we have to talk about a warrant of fitness on a home?
Yeah.
Because of those, I suppose it's those materialistic things again. It's all about profit, what I can make, cut corners, cheap, and now we're suffering
maybe. And you've got people that are suffering, living in homes that are damp and wet and making them sick. Yet, what's the alternative?
Yeah.
You know, they would rather live in a wet, damp home than maybe a car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is a hard ask because the wet home is making you sick. So, yeah, it is a bit of a tough one there.
And maybe New Zealanders have grown up and realised we don't need to just put on another jumper and harden up.
Yes, actually.
Maybe we've grown up and thought, actually, why don't we just have some really good homes?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. And I think of all those landlords out there, if you have any integrity, why would you not want
to
supply a healthy home to those people that
are paying your rent?
Exactly.
I agree.
So, God, do you know, I think we could be in Parliament.
I think we'd do a great job.
Yeah.
Hey, Two Sugars.
Yeah.
The Two Sugars Party. Oh, yeah. We could call ourselves Two Sugars Party.
Yeah.
Vote for us.
Probably a bit late in the running, aren't we?
We might have to think of it for the next lot.
Yeah. I suppose the other big one that we'll end on is water.
Oh, yes.
Water and the selling of water, but also the environment as well. So this has got people divided. But again, a debate that is scaremongering, I think, even I would call it that. Because if I look at just the basic things of what some of the parties are saying, you know, why do we allow people the free, you know, to just sell water for free overseas? We're not gaining anything from that.
I just don't get that.
No.
So we give our precious resource of water away and they go and make a profit and we see none of that.
Nothing.
Yet we could do so much with the profit that we receive from that. Hello, we're talking about housing here. We're talking about infrastructure. It's a no-brainer. I don't understand why we are giving it away.
Yeah, I don't get that. And even charging, you know, in places, and again, there's the scaremongering, you know, as we go about irrigation and all these farmers are going to be out of business and stuff. I'm thinking, oh, for goodness sakes, you know, we're talking probably 10 cents for a 1,000 litre. I mean, I don't know what the cost is, but when you think of that, it's very, very minimal.
Mm.
And, you know, if any of us that live in the city, you pay for that water to get to you.
Yes.
I agree. Nobody owns the water.
No.
But we do pay to use it.
We do pay, exactly. Yeah. And if you're going to be using our water to make a profit, I think you should be paying for it.
Yeah, simple stuff, isn't it?
Yes, I agree.
I mean, it's like anything we send overseas. You've got to be able to make money from it. And then, you know, the all the arguments, well, would that be beer, you know, or people that do wine because they need to use the water? And I thought, well, there's a lot of stuff that they actually have to pay for to make that that actually brings the taxes in here. That water that's going overseas, nothing.
Exactly.
I bottle it, it's gone.
Exactly. I think if you are taking precious resource like water and selling it as water, New Zealand bottled water, then you should be paying New Zealand for that bottled water.
There we go.
Mm. Kim said.
Yeah.
The two sugar party said. Write that bill right now.
But it is, and we've got to protect, I think, you know, our waterways. There is the pollution and all of the stuff. And with irrigation, obviously, you know, the rhetoric around or the research around, you know, that water, then where does that, the runoff from that water, all of those things. So, you know, being able to put some of that stuff back in to make sure we do have clean drinking water here that we can turn on a tap and that we have water. I'd love to get back to that time where I can go down to a stream and just take a scoop out and drink that.
And know that it's safe to drink.
And so I think it is a precious resource and one that we actually have to look after.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole argument about who owns the water, that's just, again, to me, just scaremongering. Nobody owns the water. It comes from the sky. But we do use the water.
Yes.
And so can there be a charge on how we use that water if it somehow has to get to us and to do that? So, oh, there's a biggie.
I think so.
It's a biggie.
It is a biggie. But I think it's a simple solution, really. If you're going to sell the water for a profit, then you need to pay for it.
Yeah. It's like anything. We make a product, we sell it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so it's going to be interesting over the next few weeks to see what other things pop out of the woodwork.
Mm.
But those topics have been big throughout the lead up to this time and the policies that are coming out. So, yeah, why don't you let us know what you're thinking, water or no water?
Mm. Who charges?
Immigrants, no immigrants. Rail, road, health, all of these things. Why don't you let us know? Pop up on our Facebook page and send us a wee message and we'll be talking about this, I'm sure, for the next few weeks. That's it. We'll see you the same time, same place next week. Tonight is the night to let it go. Put on a show.